are the sunshine of my life. That's why I'll always be around.
This is the Sounds of Healing. Interviews and music for you to reflect on, be rejuvenated by, and possibly even put you on a path of reconciliation. Who knows what you just might walk away with. I'm Alvinette Downing, and I hope to put some sunshine in your life and remind you just how good it is to be alive. Brought to you by Radio St. Pete and the Al Downing Tampa Bay Jazz Association. Today we are interviewing Dante Winslow, an amazing musician, trumpeter, producer, you name it. He has done just about everything internationally as well as nationally. Dante, could you tell our audience a little more about yourself for us?
Sure. My name is Dante Winslow. I'm a composer, arranger, soon to be author, husband, father, king, miracle, walking art. I'm all of those things.
That's right. Amen.
I've been doing music for about 30 years. I started trumpet at age 10. All of my dreams have come true and more are still coming true. I am powered by the love of an amazing woman. I've been married 24 years. I have three beautiful children, and the trumpet has been cathartic for me. It has been the staff in my hand like Moses, where I literally have parted the Red Sea. With the trumpet, it has saved my life, and it is a beacon of light that I use. It has really allowed me to reach the world, provide life for me and my family, and heal people all around the planet. And it has opened up doors for me to become a film composer and a teacher and just, you know, be able to do a lot, so many amazing things by just starting with one instrument.
That is amazing. I love it. When I saw you the first time, I saw you at Studio K, I think it was, at Kennedy Center.
Yes, Kennedy Center, yeah.
Yeah, and that red bell of your trumpet stood out.
Oh, thank you for saying that.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone knows the red bell. It's the symbol I use to kind of call in the spirit. I came up with that idea and patented it, and working on patenting it as we speak, because it's a signal that you can see. If you don't know my name or know where I am, you see me on the Netflix special with Justin Timberlake playing, and you say, "Oh, that's the guy with the red bell." You see me on stage with Jay-Z or somebody, and you say, "That's the guy with the red bell." And they can always use it as an identifier. I designed that trumpet myself. And in fact, in African American tradition, I went to Savannah, Georgia, and some of the homes that were safe spots for slaves to escape and hide, they would put red on the door, which mirrored the symbolism of the Hebrews putting red on the door so the angel of death could pass by. So red and blood has been the symbol of saving life. It's been a sacred thing, and I use that on the end of the trumpet to show that as I play through this bell and heal people, this trumpet is a safe space for spirit to be used and to heal and call out. So on the surface, it looks like an identifier for popularity, but underneath, there's always something deeper I'm going for.
I have learned that there's not much that's coincidental.
No.
You know, and when you look at not only sounds, you look at colors. Mm-hmm. And to associate that, because as a believer myself, just to know, wow, red, you have put that in a place of prominence. Mm-hmm. To call people in, a mm-hmm. trumpet call,
yes,
for healing. So let's talk about that a little bit. When have you, or did you have a moment when you realized that your music had healing powers?
My own music?
Yeah. Or anybody's music.
I would say there's so many thousands of situations where I've seen it heal. First, I would say my own healing. When I was in elementary school, I heard the song by my great mentor, Dr. Margaret Duro, who's a legendary gospel composer and artist who's still alive, lives in L.A. She's in the hymnal. She mm-hmm. wrote He Decided to Die. It's one of her famous hits.
Mm.
And I heard this song sang in church, and I got goosebumps on my skin. I didn't know where the goosebumps came from. And I was going to church, but I wasn't saved at the time, I would say. And the feeling I got was so overwhelming. The music just made me want to just jump up for joy, and it wanted me to be a part of what was special, the communication between audience and the performer. And I later felt that same feeling when I heard Michael Jackson's Man in the Mirror, and I goosebumps on my skin. Now, what is this thing about music? what is this magical frequency that's being transmitted from the communicator and the listener? And I wanted to be a part of that. And I think those feelings are some of the frequencies that help inspire me to want to be a part of music, to be a musician, and to be in a room with people who had that power. I was like, this is a very unique thing. You know, it happens when people get up in front of people and their intention is to touch and to move, and the way the chords are placed or written, all that works together for touching people and making them, you know, feel better about themselves, to feel like living, to feel like not giving up. And I recognize that at a young age. And ever since I started doing music, and I played this one English English folk song called "The Water Is Wide" in seventh grade in band. And that also gave me goosebumps. So I'd always tie and try to draw conclusions between songs that made me feel the same way. And I'm like, well, they're different genres, but I'm getting the same feeling. That means like there's a spirit of God attached to all of these. That's the consistent theme that's running here. And so when I figured that out, I said, I knew I would be a multi-genre musician. So I play Black American music. I play European classical music. I've been blessed to be a part of pop music and hip hop music, reggae music. And I've taken lessons in Indian music. And I feel like throughout the world, everyone has frequency and vibration that they emit. The intention is really what sets music apart, good music from bad music. If the intention is good or if the intention is bad, but the genre is irrelevant. The genre only gives us a slight cue as to the culture it may come from, the tempo, the rhythm, but really the intention and the outpouring is really what defines music for me.
I love that. You know, my father, who started the Al Downing Tampa Bay Jazz Association 50 years ago, asked me once, he said, "Alvinette, what's your favorite genre of music?" And I'm like, you know, he's a jazz musician. But I said, I can't even begin to say, and I told him, I have heard good music in just about every genre I've ever been exposed to.
I agree.
And he said, that was the right answer. I'm like,
Good. No, that's good. He taught you right.
Yes. And so in our house, we had, well, amongst other things, we had ton loads of keyboards everywhere. And we had, orchestra music, orchestra instruments. It was a house of music. And we had 45s all from Motown back in the day. We had 78s. You know, that he would play. Our audience may not even know what a 78 is. It's a real thick piece of wax, let's say that. But he'd say, you know, this is music and this is good. And when we would play that, the whole house would light up. We would dance. If anybody knows how to do the swing against a doorknob, you know, you hold the doorknob and you go back and forth if you don't have a partner.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, my sisters and I used to do that. And so it just brought the house such levity and, you know, brightness. And so just to hear you say that. And there was something you said, you have three children?
Yes, three children.
Beautiful children. And whenever my dad played, and I wonder if this is true of you, whenever my dad played, I can remember standing next to him as he played the piano or the organ, and the biggest grin would just come in my face. And I was obviously proud of him and enjoyed it, but there was something special about it, that music, that rhythm going through me, as you call it, the frequency.
The
frequency going, it's just kind of, oh my gosh, turned me on to such a wonderful feeling. And I just relish that. And that's what I want our audience to really come to grips with, to realize that music, sounds that we hear, jazz, R&B, hip hop, you name it, can have that kind of presence to cause a healing.
Yes.
When I think about that, I think about groups that are actually in the midst of it. So yesterday, I was at the most magical place in the world. I won't say it, but okay. And there was a African in their African part. There was a group of African, and I'm not sure, I didn't get a chance to talk to them, musicians, drummers, keyboardists, whistle player as well. And there was he they just started playing, and do you know there had to be 20 people that started to surround the stage and start dancing because there was a dance leader up there. Mm-hmm. And that unity, that oneness, we were all dancing. It was like dance like nobody's watching. And that's what we were doing.
And that's what you should be doing.
You know?
Yes.
And after that, I felt like, this is good. Yeah, it was. This is great.
That's important that you spoke about frequency and vibration. I brought it up, but you reiterated that music is a part of frequency, and people need to understand that thought is frequency. Frequency is a vibration. It's an emission that comes from intention. And so we shouldn't separate color. It's the same as light. It's the same as frequency. It's the same as sound. These are all vibrations. They're moving. They're molecules moving back and forth. Intention is the impetus that begins sound. First, you have a thought in your mind, and it goes out. Thought is vibration. So as soon as you think something, it goes out. Thought is faster than the speed of light, which is 186,000 miles per second. So if you think Saturn, you're on Saturn, and you're back to Earth. Your mind can go anywhere in the universe. So thought makes sound happen. It makes frequency move. And so once you have frequency or vibration, you then can channel it in an instrument, piano, keyboard, dance, body, thought. It can go anywhere, but the intention pushes the frequency out, and that's why it touches a person. So when a person, you know, you take spiritual music, for example, gospel, if a person has the intention in the mind to move you, they emit it. Of course, skill makes the level different, but even without skill, if the intention is pure, it goes out, it's transmitted just like any word. All words are frequencies, they're utterances. They don't mean anything to people who don't know, that don't know language. But once you get familiar with language or feeling is a frequency, emotion is a frequency. All of those things channel into music or word or poetry or prayer, and they hit people, they touch, and they change lives. What's important about the unity part is that when you saw the the unity, people doing things in tandem, there's power in that because now you're multiplying frequencies. Every instrument sounds beautiful because it multiplies what's called overtones. A vibration has an octave and pitches above it, and those overtones make the ear vibrate and feel good. When you see a symphony orchestra, all the musicians are emitting overtones. Each instrument has layers of overtones, and instruments on top of each other have multiple overtones. So you feel the vibrations in the room. This is like straight science and physics. Outside of it being God and emotion, it's also science and physics all compacting at once. Very complex stuff, which is why we love music. You know, it's not just like, oh, that song sound good. No, there's so many other things that go into a song. When you create a song, when you make sounds, the musicians in the studio have lives, they have wives, they have breakups, they have pain. They're putting all this intention into emotion that goes through the frequency spectrum, and we feel it. Being in tune, musicians say, you know, we should tune up. Well, tuning really means aligning vibrations together. Prayer is like being in tune. When we hold hands and get together, we're tuning up. We're saying, I want to be on the same page as you. I want our thoughts to be in the same place at the same time. Mm-hmm. And what happens when it happens? Multiplication.
Absolutely.
When multiplication happens and vibrations double themselves, that's where power and effectiveness actually comes from. That's the shortest I can make it.
Absolutely. That's amazing. So you got me thinking about when my children were young. I have four kids. Mm-hmm. Of course, all of my kids are grown. So, yeah. But as we were riding in the car and we would listen, because my father would give us tapes of orchestra sounds and everything, and just you'd hear it. And I tried to teach my children, and this is what I want to really encourage our audience to do after listening to how powerful not only sounds of music, thoughts are, and words,
thoughts,
and intention,
words,
behind
affirmations,
it, all of that. That when you listen to music, don't just listen to the overall sound. My children were able to say, I would say, what instrument do you hear there? Mm-hmm. And they'd say, oh, Mama, I hear clarinet. Mm-hmm. I hear trumpet. That's a drum. Does anybody hear a violin? You know, these are the kind of conversations we would have when they're listening to music. Mm-hmm. And as they grew up, they became really aware of the sounds and the different frequencies, the overtones that you talk about.
Yes, ma'am.
And you know, they laugh at me because, they they were born in the 80s and 90s, mm-hmm. but they know Sam Cooke.
Right. That's him.
And they can tell you about Cupid and all that.
That's good. That's what it should be like.
All of the oldies. They also knew the new ones came. But I'm telling you, when I think it's so important to really learn how to listen, mm-hmm. and how powerful. It's also like listening to someone talking. Well, I'm listening to you talking, and I'm trying to focus on what you're saying, mm-hmm. and the words that you're saying. Because as you've already told me, thoughts turn into words, intentions.
That's right.
Right?
Yes.
And so I'm like, okay, you've got me to another higher level of listening to you.
Yes, I appreciate it. listening is crucial. I have the most amazing marriage on earth. I've been married for 24 years, faithful to my wife, and my marriage is exponentially blessed. Every single day. It keeps getting better. I talked to her 3 hours on the phone last night. We're in high school. I'm on tour, and every night we're still talking for 4 hours. I'm still trying to get to know this girl. Like, she's my home girl. She's my best friend, my mother, my wife, my lover. It's high-level passion. I don't see this anywhere.
Oh, wow.
Because we are listening to each other. We are vibrating off of each other's frequency. We were best friends for 3 years before we even got married. I married her right at the courthouse. I didn't even need to date her. I never got engaged. I felt her intention and felt that she was for me, and bam, I pulled the trigger because I knew. That's how powerful her vibration was.
Wow.
So these are important things. And so the best actors, actresses in the world always say good actors respond to one another. Mm-hmm. So that goes back to listening. Like, a great relationship is the response and the activation from a person vibrates, you vibrate back. Now, when the vibrations aren't aligned, that means that person's not for you. But people are not paying attention.
Yes.
They're in ego, they're in flesh, and they're, you know, selfish. It's my way. When you pay attention, you can see if it's aligned, if it's not. And for me, yeah, I'm blessed and I have grace, but also we are both musicians. You can see if you listen, we perform together. We are symbiotic. I say a word, she ends it. She says a word, I know what she says. And because of this performing we do together and this living and loving, making love, making kids, it's like God created something so powerful. It's like two atoms that are just, but we keep listening. We keep observing what each other feelings are, what we're saying in any given moment. We're humble enough to step back. Hey, did I offend you? Did that word, was that too loud? She might say, baby, your tone when you said, I said, okay, I'm sorry. We're willing to apologize because we're listening. We're out of the flesh, out of the ego. This is so important. It's not just music, but it's also human relation. So the part you said about I'm listening to you and I'm making your listening go up higher, it's the same as when you're training for anything. The more complex your detailed compassion is, you're listening, it elevates everything, your music, your lifestyle, our humanity with one another, and your ability to cue in on what needs to happen at any given moment in time, how you respond and how much listening you do.
I'm telling you. So Mashika, yes,
ma'am.
Is that queen.
See, the queen
that Dante is referring to. And I met both of them at Kennedy Center.
Yes.
And that is Winslow Dynasty.
Yes.
So check it out.
Look up Winslow Dynasty.
Oh, my gosh. She's got a pair of pipes that are amazing. And so does Dante.
Thank
as
you.
Well as a trumpet. It has just been a fascinating, and I hope the audience agrees that it has been not just educational but inspirational.
Oh, thank you.
So I just want you to know how much I appreciate the fact that you took the time and to be here, because you just flew in. I don't know.
Yes, we drove in from Raleigh, and we're doing a show in Tampa tomorrow. I'm at the Miley Arena, I think. We're on tour with Justin Timberlake, and been traveling for like a year. For people who don't know, I toured with Justin, but I've also played with Lady A, Queen Latifah, Jill Scott, Lauryn Hill, everybody. I've written songs with Kanye West and Jay-Z and Snoop and Kamasi Washington. I mean, I've conducted the Oscars in 2022 and was a composer for the Oscars and the conductor. I have three movies that are out there, Posse by Merle Van Peoples that I scored. And so I've been doing so many amazing things in all of these jobs. I just feel like are a culmination of the blessings that God has put on my life, because I've been dedicated and faithful to the plan.
Absolutely. And this is what Sounds of Healing is all about. We have been blessed by you and your presence and your experience and sharing your life.
Thank you,
story. Thank you so much. And this is Sounds of Healing. And I am Alvinette Downing, hoping that our time together has left you with blessings and healings for your souls. You are the sunshine of my life. You make me happy. You are my sunshine. You are the sunshine of my life.